The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Hey, all right, let's get right at it. Have you been out today? Have you been out to vote yet here in North Carolina? Five other states, big primaries today. Have you been out yet? You can get out. The polls close at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time all across North Carolina this evening, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. As long as you're in line by 7:30, then they have to let you vote. So remember that. If you're in line and they say, sorry, everybody, 7:30, polls close, you politely stick your hand up in the air and say, that's a violation of our own state's law. Okay? If you're in line by 7:30 this evening, you are protected your right to vote. Okay, so make sure you know that, 7:30 p.m. this evening. Many of you, maybe hopefully, have gotten out today. I've been fielding private messages and text messages and phone calls and stuff from people all day, as I do every 2 years. Hey, Steve, where's your list? I need your list. Where's your list? And I'm happy to provide my list. If you want my list, just go to my Facebook page. So you can find it there. Or if you want to email me, I'll reply to you right as soon as the show's over. Steve@thestevenobleshow.com, Steve@thestevenobleshow.com, especially if you're here in Wake Forest. But other statewide races, I'll be happy to tell you exactly who I think you should vote for. And one of the people that is on my list is somebody that's a good friend of ours. He was just here with us on Friday with Steve Dace, and it's always good to hear from our good friend, Fred Von Cannon. Fred, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good, man. Thanks. How's it going out there in the voting land? Fred's up there running for NC House 35. VoteVonCannon.com. How's it going today?
It's going great. I'm encouraged. There's a slow and steady turnout, but that's really good for a primary. And so it's just been steady all day and several hundred people. I'm at my precinct, 1907, which is at Flaherty Park in Wake Forest. And it's just been steady all day, but slow enough that there's no wait and enough that I don't, I get to talk to people all the time. And it's been awesome. People are very excited about coming out. I'd say anecdotally, 70-75% are Republican. So I'm encouraged by that, obviously, because that's the ballot I'm on. And I have had several of my neighbors come by, and I'm watching one drive up right now. So this is just, it's fun to see a lot of like-minded folks coming out and getting excited about the primary.
Yeah, and I wish more and more people would vote in the primaries every 2 years. This is such an important opportunity for us to field the best team we possibly can, because these elections are super important in November, and we've talked about this many times. Steve Dace was talking about it just the other day, the importance of your particular seat there, North Carolina House 35, Fred. Why is it such a big deal? Why do we need to win?
Well, this has been identified as one of the, if not the top priority seat to flip. We need to flip 3 House seats and 2 Senate seats to get the veto-proof supermajority in the General Assembly and effectively render our governor neutered, which is what needs to happen. So, and this is probably target number one. It's going to be a very hard-fought, expensive race. Looks to be maybe the most expensive race in the state of North Carolina. So we got a big battle in front of us. We've got to get through a primary today. We feel good about that. But this is an important seat that we can flip. We've got to get the supermajority. And that's really what this election is about. I think the Democrats know that. They're going to be throwing a lot of money at it. I would hate to be running as a Democrat right now. I'm not even sure how you would run, what you would tout as something that is going right. The other day I was at early voting, and I heard the Democrat lady at the booth say, well, you know, at least we paid down the debt $300 billion. And I'm thinking that's just delusional. What she means is, in the first year of COVID, we had a $3.1 trillion deficit because of all the things we did, and we can debate that, but most of them wrong. And then in the first year of Biden, we had a $2.8 trillion deficit.
So there you go.
They're thinking we paid down the debt $300 billion. I'm like, no. We just added $300 billion less than the year before to the debt. We didn't pay down anything. We added trillions of dollars to the debt. So anyway, it's a beautiful day. I encourage everybody to get out to vote. The early voting numbers across the state have been up for early voting.
That's
and
good.
Especially for Republicans. And just again, anecdotally, I think today is going to be a good day for Republicans to get out and vote.
Yeah, that's awesome. We were talking about this on Friday at your event at Prime Barbecue, and one of the things I really appreciate about not only you but your bride and your kids, you guys are pro-life to the core. You talk about it. You're active in it. You support it financially and with your blood, sweat, and tears with Roe versus Wade on the cusp of falling. That's going to be an issue that's a big deal here in North Carolina. What's your vision, Fred, as a pro-life champion? Once you're in North Carolina House 35, what would you like to see happen in North Carolina on the issue of life?
I honestly would love it might have to be incrementally just to make it happen. But that infant born alive bill is, you know, if I would put that up first day just to make a point that we need to protect life after it's born. That's just crazy that it didn't pass. But really, you know, there's some model legislation across the country with these heartbeat bills. I would be very comfortable with that. There needs to be, you know, the Democrats want to make this like we want, you know, the 11-year-old that's raped to, you know, make sure she has a baby kind of thing. And it's not that at all. I think if you the red herrings that the left throws out here on abortion or the rape and incest and, you know, an ectopic pregnancy or something like that can't work and you have to medically abort that. If you take out all those exceptions, you're still well under 10%. So let's just give them 10% and say, okay, can I have the other 90 that are elective? Let's deal with that. And because there's so much, you know, there's birth control available to anybody. There's, you know, plenty of you shouldn't be using abortion as birth control.
That's right. Well, it's going to be interesting to see once it ends up coming to the states, God willing. Mm-hmm. Everybody's going to have to figure out where they actually stand. It's one thing to talk
right.
It. It's another thing to legislate
right.
it. And so, and I'm looking forward to that day. And I'm sure there's going to be a lot of tough conversations because not all Republicans agree on where the line should be. But I know when you're in there, you're going to stand for life. And that's what we appreciate about you. So today up until 7:30, again, everybody, if you're in line, and again, just tell everybody where your district's at, where North Carolina House 35 is.
North Carolina House 35, there's 14 precincts in the north central part of Wake County. It effectively is Rollsville and Wake Forest. So
all right.
If you're in those, most all the precincts start with a 19. So that's us. Come out and vote.
Awesome. Great. God bless you, Fred. Thanks, man. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, pal. You're welcome. We'll be right back talking to more candidates. We're going to talk to E.C. Sykes, Courtney Giles, Chad Slotta, and then we'll do a little Money Monday update at the end of the show. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble. The Steve Noble Show. I was just chatting with one of my friends on Facebook, and just an incredible slate of great Christians out there that are small business experience, practical people, conservative people, people that are champions for life, and people that see our economic situation, our social situation for what it is. But people that know the Lord and have the Holy Spirit. I'm always like, hey, listen, I would prefer to have Christians in office, but if it's a Christian that's not very wise, God bless you, but this isn't the place for you. But if they're experienced, if they're wise, if they're full of the Holy Spirit, okay, cool. So we have a bunch of those out there, which is we've been talking to a bunch of them on the show over the last several months and over the last 2 days. We just heard from Fred Von Cannon, another person up running in his neck of the woods for North Carolina Senate 18 is our good friend E.C. Sykes, who was just in the studio the other day. E.C., thanks for calling, man. How's it going out there?
Hey, Steve. Great to talk to you again. It's going really well.
Yeah, so what kind of mood do you run into out there at the polls on a primary day?
Well, you know, normally the voters that you get on primaries are a little more intuitive, interested. They go,
they're engaged.
Do some research. They kind of figure out, know who the right candidate is. They spend more time researching candidates. They got to split shades of gray, and so they end up being a little smarter than your general election candidate.
I mean, a lot of people ride in November, and they can go down and they can vote a slate. I vote all Republican, I vote Democrat, whatever the case may be. But in the primaries, when you're picking through a bunch of people that are in the same party, and some of these primary races, as you know, EC, I mean, I've got some friends in races where there's 6, 7, and 8 candidates. That's really difficult when you start having to split through shades of gray. But remind people where North Carolina Senate District 18 is.
Sure. So District 18 is Wake Forest and Rollsville, going over to the Durham County line, and then it picks up all of Granville County. So Mitchell Mill Road to Durham County line, Durant Road to Virginia.
And this is a big deal. We were just talking to Fred, as you know, and his race for North Carolina House 35 is a big deal. And for you in the Senate, because we need to pick up two seats in the Senate so that we can get to a veto-proof majority and basically neuter Governor Cooper. But is your seat one of the big ones in the state?
You know, it is. You know, when they look at the Senate races, of course, when they redrew the maps, a lot of things changed. We had 28 Republicans already, but some of them ended up being in the same district, in a redraw district, so that drops that number down. But we got some that are, you know, more difficult races and some that are easy. So if you rank the races from the easiest, there isn't a competitor, until the one we have to get to get a veto-proof majority, number 30, I get the privilege of running for number 30. So we are sitting on the bubble.
Yeah, which makes it all the more important. Just for people to kind of understand generally, and AC's been on before, but just kind of generally to differentiate yourself, what are some of the biggest issues for you, EC? Is it small business experience, political experience, a follower of Christ? What are some of the main issues for you running for NC Senate 18?
Yeah, thanks, Steve. And I have two little stories from the day I'd like to share with you that I think your listeners would find interesting. So I'm a Christian businessman. I was saved at the age of 7 in Durham, where my father was a policeman. We grew up there. Lord blessed me with being able to have some very diverse business experience, some small companies that I was leader of, some public companies, as well as being an executive of Fortune 500. And it's that business experience that we want to bring into our North Carolina legislature. It's that experience that'll help us with our economic issues that we have right now. It's that experience that helps us with our social issues like life, like religious liberty that we have in front of us right now, like women in sports issues. And so we bring to the people a businessman, that has a very conservative viewpoint.
Yeah, which is so important. And you mentioned several times a business experienced person, which is important because we can't have people that are just thinking politically all the time. We have to live in practical land. And if you've run a business or led a business, you know what it is to make a payroll and the fact that most of us actually have to live conservative lives, unlike the government.
Before I ever filed years ago, when I was trying to understand what is it like to run and is this the right thing for me, I met with some leaders to kind of ask them, you know, teach me, help me understand. And they said something real interesting. They said, look, to do the role you have, I was CEO of a small company at that time, you had to have a certain education, you had to have certain experiences, you have to demonstrate certain skills. But to run for office, all you need is an opinion. And that's true. We got people out there that have nothing more than an opinion to bring to the team. Yeah. What do you think they're going to accomplish?
Yeah, not a whole lot.
So we were pleased. Hey, I'm going to say just two things real quick. You know,
sure.
We're out there talking to voters today. One, I got a chance to help a first-time voter, 18-year-old, just turned about 2 months ago. And so he was, you know, excited about exercising his rights to vote that day.
Cool.
It's a privilege to be able to talk to him as he was going in to make his choices. And the second person we met at a different poll is Susan and I, when we went to college at North Carolina State, we drove back to my home church in Durham every Sunday, and the Sunday school teacher that we had there was a student over at Southeastern Seminary. He went to be a missionary eventually in Brazil. He married us, and we caught him just as he was walking out of a poll today. So it was just a long journey, but get a chance to see somebody who was important in our life.
Yeah, that's super cool. And blessings for obedience of stepping up to the plate and trying to run to be a part of what God would like to see done here in this state and in this nation, which should be obvious to those of us that follow him. EC Sykes, ecfornc.com. And we'll be together. Of course, we'll be talking more after the primary today as you race towards the big election in November. But God bless you, my brother. Thanks for calling in. And we look forward to you winning today and winning again in November. We're going to be with you all the way.
Great. Blessings to you and your listeners. Thank you.
All right, pal. Thanks. We'll talk to you later. Let's jump over to Durham County, where a lot of people just write stuff off, right? We should never do that. We should always be willing to get in the game. Courtney Giles is doing just that. House District 4, this is a congressional district. Courtney Giles for Congress.com. Courtney, how are you? It's good to hear from you.
I'm doing well, Steve. It's so good to talk to you again.
You as well. Thank you so much for being available to call in. How are things going out there at the polls? And why in the world would a God-fearing conservative woman run for office in the Durham area?
Because there's no more God-fearing people running in the Durham area.
That's the right answer right there.
Yeah, I mean, it's going great. I'm out in Liberty, North Carolina right now, out where it's very red because we're in a Republican primary. So it's been really good. I've gotten great feedback from other polling locations as well.
Yeah, and so as you've been down this process, and we're going to hit the break in about a minute, Courtney, but I want to hold you through the break and give you some more time on the other side of that. Hopefully that's okay for you. But what are you learning just with spending time with voters for the last several months? What are you learning about your district? What are you learning about North Carolina in general?
Well, I like to listen to both sides because sometimes I do go to the Durham polls for early voting, so I listen to a lot of Democrats talk. And I would say one thing that I think we can actually find commonality on that was a new thing that I learned. Okay, I could obviously talk Republican things, but I think generally we all agree. Christian conservative nurse is my background. But one thing that I thought was really interesting is that, you know, buzz term affordable housing. Mm. I never really thought about it as home ownership. And a lot of Democrats do not actually, they don't want to live in what you call the project where you're renting. They actually want to own the home. And so we actually were getting to have a cool dialogue, me and some Democrats that were at the polls, to just talk about how we can look at not just spending, but also bringing money back in, but also seeing, you know, lower income people thriving and being able to have home ownership. So they gave me some good ideas to be able to talk to Democrats about things that they care about, too.
Yeah, that's such a great example, but you have to start with a conversation of being willing to listen, because I say this all the time, Courtney, and I'm going to put you on hold. We say this all the time. Listen, the overwhelming majority of Americans, we have to live conservative lives. Forget politics for a second. You have to live conservatively because we can't print money like the federal government. Have those conversations like Courtney. You'll be amazed what happens. We'll be right back with her. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Today is the day. It's primary day here in North Carolina. Polls close at 7:30 p.m. By the way, if you're in line at 7:30, they have to let you vote. Okay, so remember that this evening. If you're at work or you just can't get there till this evening, as long as you're in line by 7:30, then they should allow you to vote. That's part of North Carolina voter law. So if they shut the doors and say, sorry, everybody, and you're in line at 7:30, pay attention to the time, then you put your hand up in the air and you demand your rights. Okay, do not put up with that. If you're in line at 7:30, they have to let you vote. Remember that and make sure you speak up. And I'm telling you, if there's other people in line and you speak up, other people will start speaking up too and say, hey, you have no right to do that. You can't shut the doors. In North Carolina, we have a law. If I'm in line, you should allow me to vote. So make sure you get out there. And if you're in the Durham area, that's why we're talking to Courtney Giles, who's running for Congress in the Republican primary, Congressional District 4. Courtney, so how would you kind of encapsulate, and thanks for calling in today, how would you encapsulate kind of the main aspects of why you're running and some of the main issues you'd want to tackle when you get to D.C.?
Yeah, well, ultimately, my overarching theme of two things that I see as a problem that's really pushed me to run for office is a lack of truth just in generally in our society and in the media, and also federal government overreach. And so two things that I'd really like to do when I get to Congress, one of those would be working on the Communication Decency Act, Section 230, where we're supposed to have more freedom of speech based on that law. But unfortunately, our tech companies have kind of taken that freedom of lack of liability, and they've begun censoring a lot of people.
Yep.
And if we don't have free speech, we don't really have a free country. And so I'd like to amend and reform that law to say if tech companies choose to censor one person, then they are then liable for everything said and done on their platform. And I think that that will ultimately prevent a lot of censorship. Because we need to be able to talk on these platforms, and if there's too much censorship and they take that liability on and they're really censoring everyone, no one's going to want to be on their platform.
That's
one thing as far as promoting truth. And then what really pushed me to run ultimately was these vaccine mandates. Again, I don't think the federal government should be choosing, you know, what our medical care is. And I think that this is a bipartisan effort. I talked to some people who went to the Medical Freedom Rally out in D.C., and they said that it was definitely not just Republicans that were there. People don't like being told that they have to take a vaccine, and they definitely don't like being told they're going to be fired if they don't do that. And ultimately, again, we go back to that repetitive lack of truth with the rhetoric that said that you don't care about other people if you don't take the vaccine, and that is just ultimately not true. It's not based on science, and it infuriates me that people have pitted one another against one another based on that lie.
And especially for you, because you have an extensive background in nursing.
Absolutely. I've always been a fan of vaccines, but I also am a fan of teaching a patient and giving them the opportunity to say yes or no to any type of treatment.
Yeah, imagine that. So, Courtney, again, if people want to find out more, they can vote today, vote till 7:30, and then we want to help you as we move into the summer, push towards November. What's the website? How can people get involved?
My website is CourtneyGeelsForCongress.com, and they can sign up to volunteer because this is going to take an army of people to flip this seat. It is a blue-leaning seat, but it is open. David Price is not running again. And so there's a primary for the Democrats, primary for the Republicans, and this is the year that I think we're going to flip this red. So I'd love to have all the help I can get.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right, stay in touch, Courtney. We'll be ready, willing, and able to help you as often as we can. God bless you. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Good to talk to you again.
You're welcome. Bye. You as well. Bye. Let's jump over to my buddy Chad Slotta calling in, also out there on the campaign trail today, House District 13, Southern Wake, and a couple other counties. Chad, remind everybody where your district is.
Hey, Steve. Chad Slotta, great to be with you. So good to talk to you again today. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome.
Yes, so District 13 is all of Southern Wake County, Johnston County, Western Wayne County, and then parts of Northern and Eastern Harnett County.
It's amazing how big these districts are and a lot of different types of people there. But what are you running into out there today? I was talking to our mutual friend E.C. Sykes and Fred Von Cannon. We're talking about the people that come out to primary vote are really, really focused. They understand the value of getting out in a primary because we're trying to select the best team we can to run in November. What are you experiencing out there today, Chad?
Steve, I feel like folks are really resonating with our message. And what I mean by that is, you know, I really believe, and this is what I've been sharing with people, is that we're in the battle for the soul of our country right now. You know, we have an entire generation of leaders in Washington, D.C., for whom politics has become their religion. Government, not God, is their savior. And when they ask what's wrong with the world, there's no sense of personal accountability, no idea of sin, repentance, forgiveness.
Yep.
You know, right now people are blaming society, they're blaming their surroundings, they're blaming the system. And of course, when you blame the system, you're morally justified, right? They believe to tear down the system and morally obligated to do whatever it takes and to use whatever means necessary to tear down the system. And I really believe, beginning with an assault on the nuclear family, on the home and on life itself, that's what we're seeing. And as I share that with folks, that we want to realign America with Judeo-Christian values, the constitutional conservative principles that made America great, I just see people just saying thank you. You know, thank you for standing up for the Lord and for these values.
Yeah, and that's for a lot of people out there, for Christians as well. You know, there's a lot of people that will pay lip service and they'll say, yeah, I'm a Christian, blah, 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 blah. Well, 68, 69% of the country self-identifies as Christian. Doesn't mean they are. Stand in a garage doesn't make you a car. And I think I think we all have to, especially as the days get darker, Chad, we need to be more bold. Yes, grace and compassion and patience, but we need to be more bold with our faith and not be afraid, even though the culture is kind of after us.
Absolutely. I mean, I think one of the things that we see is an epidemic of fear in the country, Steve, and that's why one of the issues that I'm focusing on is safeguarding our speech, this idea that we can believe what's in our hearts, say what's on our mind, get together with our friends, and worship as we see fit without the fear of reprisal, without the fear of having to hide or cower behind anything, just to worship as we see fit. I mean, these are the freedoms, our freedom of speech and our freedom of religion that are fundamental. And, you know, those are the things that we're out here fighting for every day.
What's it been like? Because there's been a lot of mudslinging. It's gotten pretty aggressive between two of your competitors down there for House District 13 with Kelly Daughtry and Beau Hines. And you know, that's going back and forth. They're like firing at each other. How do you kind of deal with that in a primary when you have a different message and you're a different person than they are? And but that's a reality. That's kind of the part of the mess of the primary system. How do you kind of manage that?
Well, I mean, some like to differentiate themselves by tearing others down, I'm sure.
Sure.
I'm choosing to differentiate myself from my competitors by sharing my vision for the country and by just answering the questions that voters have asked. I mean, I've been endorsed as the only unconditional conservative by iVoter Guide, which is used by the American Family Association, the Family Research Council, the NC Values Coalition, and incidentally, I've earned all their endorsements.
Yep.
Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, FRC, Tammy Fitzgerald, NC Values, former Speaker Pro Tem Skip Sam, former Apex Mayor Lance Olive, all have watched as we as a campaign, we've taken a stand. And I got to tell you, Steve, it's been such an honor just to have people just come back and say, you know, you really encouraged me. You really inspired me, because it's not going to be one politician out of a million North Carolinians that's going to all of a sudden raise up as the hero of all of us. Yeah. What this is going to take is a million North Carolinians, a million believers here in the state, standing up and pushing back right where we live and work.
Yeah, that's such an important point for all of us, and I appreciate the way that you were talking about that, what the primary situation is. There's no kind of asterisk next to your name as a Christian, as a conservative, as a patriot, a father, a small business owner, and a husband. There's no asterisk there. I don't have to worry about where you stand on social issues versus fiscal issues. I don't have to worry about whether you can buy your way into the House or not, because there's too much of that going on. You are exactly who you say you are, and by the way, everybody, I've known Chad for a few years. He actually on the table, sits on my board. There's a reason he sits on my board, and there's a reason why I support you in running for Congress, because you're the right person. And we need to, a million of us in North Carolina, the choir can make a difference if the choir shows up.
That's exactly right. And I think, you know, it's interesting. You read scripture and you just see, you know, what is biblical hope, right? Biblical hope is this idea that we can anticipate God's best in every situation of life, so we can move into every day with courage and with boldness and with confidence and with joy. And when we approach the world that way as believers, we have a chance to make an impact. Even if you listen to, and I've gone back to listen to President Reagan's 1976, 1980 campaign announcement speeches, and the way that he talked about America reminds me of the way that God talks about us, is when we just have hope and faith and trust in liberty and freedom and trust people. Trust the Holy Spirit to work on people's hearts, but trust people to make decisions for themselves here in the country. It's amazing what we've been able to do as Americans.
Yeah, and that for us as conservatives, that's what we want. Hey, government's got a limited role, limited. And then trust the people to take care of their own problems, to help each other, to be the solution to the national problems far more than the federal government. That's the way that Reagan was. That's the way we're called to be as conservatives. And you're doing a great job of communicating that. I appreciate you calling in, my friend. I love you and appreciate you. And God bless you. And we look forward to pushing you forward as we come out of this day.
Love you too, brother. Thanks so much for having me on.
You're welcome. We'll talk soon. Thanks so much. That was Chad Slotta down in House District, Congressional House District 13, Slotta4NC.com is his website if you want to check that out. We'll be right back with David Fisher. Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital, who is kind enough to switch to today, as we've been talking to one candidate after another in this primary season, which is today. Just a reminder, today is primary day, okay? If you don't vote today, if you're not in line by 7:30, you don't get to vote. This is very important. This is, think back to when you were a kid and you're picking kickball teams or whatever. You want to be able to pick who you want to be on your team, don't you? That's the point of a primary election, which is why it's so important. Polls close here in North Carolina at 7:30 p.m. As long as you're in line by 7:30, you get to vote. So make sure you stand up for your right if you run into that this evening. But make sure you get out there and do your civic duty. And I would also add, I think it's a Christian duty as well. Think of your vote like a talent. And if you don't invest your talent wisely, if you just bury it, that didn't go so well. Let's talk to our good friend David Fisher. We're going to talk about some scripture today and in Psalm 126, David, and that's going to lead into a little personal testimony. And then if we have time, we'll talk about financial stuff. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing really good. I can't wait to talk and give people the great news. I know you and I chatted last week, and we're both rejoiced.
Great. But yeah, amen.
Thanks for having me on your program.
You're welcome, as always. Okay, Psalm 126. Let's start there.
What a scripture dear to my heart. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. You know, we all face challenges in life. Sometimes it's a financial, a physical, emotional, a challenge with our children or grandchildren or spouses, business. Life has them. That is part of life. And I faced a huge challenge. I was surprised, health challenge in December of 2018. And after 12 days in the hospital, five doctors gave me my orders to go get my financial affairs in order. They all said I had less than a year to live, and I had a 5% chance of beating the odds. It was my heart, and I had a thing called an infraction, which there at the time there was no cure for it. I couldn't. And so miraculously, God hooked me up with an incredible cardiologist, got me a few operations, implanted a device in my right chest that it was a clinical trial. I was one of 500 people. And so my infraction before all that, when I got in the hospital, was at 10. So what does that mean? Zero, it means your heart is not pumping. The fraction is the expansion and contraction of your heart. And so mine was only at 10. What is a normal man? 50 to 60. That's normal. So it was at that point, you either have two options. You either go die or you get a heart transplant. And I was not on the heart transplant list. That's a year's waiting thing. So obviously there's a lot of other things that we don't have time to go over where they turned my heart off and I said goodbye to my wife. I flatlined, and it's just all kinds of challenges in that era of my life. So I went through several surgeries, got my heart started healing itself. Most importantly, we've always been friends for the last 6 years, but you became a very close friend, and so many people on your program. I get a little choked up. Thank you so much for those that are hearing my voice, and you prayed. Your prayers have been answered, and even again, they've been answered, because every year I have this annual checkup to see how much my infraction, if it would change. I was at 5 or 10, excuse me. Then a year later, I was at 15, another year later, and kept going up, defying all the odds. A year ago, I was at 42, and my doctor shook my hand and said, congratulations, you will live a long life, you beat the odds. I said, well, what about being the 50 to 60? He says, you push yourself, I get it. He says, you're out of the woods. What I found out at that point, Steve, anything below a 35, you could die any time. So there was about a five-year period that I could have died any time.
Wow, man.
Maybe 6 years, because we don't know when it actually really started.
Yeah.
So, but last week, I got the results from my annual tests, and the number is 55, which means I had a complete recovery.
Yes.
And I was able to send Steve the video. He saw the old heart versus the new heart.
That was crazy.
God gave me a new heart.
It was crazy to watch that, because you look on the left and you're like, yeah, that ain't working right. It's like the car hobbling down the street and coughing out smoke and all that kind of stuff. And then the one on the right is like the standard, totally working normal. 55 is the number, which is where you're at now, and up from 10 when they told you get your affairs in order, David. And I always appreciate the fact that that became a part of our time together on the air, as well as our off-air friendship, that you would share that, and people were praying for you, and we walked through that. That's what we're supposed to do, shoulder one another's burdens. Even though none of us live in Arizona, we can pray for you and carry those burdens spiritually from North Carolina or wherever people are listening, and that's exactly what happened, and God has honored all that.
So I want to say, you're exactly right, Steve. What those that are hearing my voice today, what is in your heart today? Not your physical heart, but what is going on in your life today that is a mountain for you? I want to testify and to encourage you, no valley is too low to live in, and no mountain is too high to climb. This mountain, I could not climb it. It was impossible. But I had my point where I sowed my tear of joy in the hospital, and I said, God, if you have me be here longer than the doctors are saying, I hope that day comes. I am not afraid of dying. Yeah. I want to reap in joy. So if you're facing a challenge today, a mountain, the Lord is with you. Yeah. He is near you. He is beside you. He is in you, and he wants to show his glory. He wants to do the same type of miracle he did for me, he wants to do for you. I want to encourage you, be of good cheer. That day is coming.
Yeah, such a great reminder, such a great testimony. And it reminds me, as you're talking about that, as you kind of unpack that testimony, and it reminds me of Psalm 23 when David's talking about this. And David had to have written this later in life. He didn't write this when he was a little kid. And he's talking about, you know, lying down in green pastures and leads me, but he renews my life. He leads me along for his namesake. Then he switches because he starts talking about, you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And then it's like, surely goodness and faithful love will pursue me or follow me. So God's always following you right into the valley, right to the top of the mountain, wherever you're going. Yeah. God's right behind you. And we have to be bold and have faith and ask for whatever it is. As crazy it might sound, I think a lot of us, David, are hesitant in our prayer life because we're afraid to be disappointed. And we have to know that all of our healing, the rectification of every problem is coming. It's just a matter of when, but it is coming. And we have to pray into that and be bold. And that's exactly what you did. And you sowed in tears and you're reaping in joy. And that's possible for all of us.
You know, I'm not a name and claim it kind of a believer, but I learned something that, you know, there's something about the believer side being causing themselves to believe, not for the sake of belief in the unknown or the impossible, but the belief that God is in control. And that's the key.
Yep.
And I never, ever sensed that God was not knowing, not hearing, not concerning, not wanting, not loving, not caring, not wanting to do anything. I just had the belief that everything was the opposite of that. But it was his love and his mercy that as we partnered together, I did the small possible thing, and he did the impossible.
Yeah, it's so true. And that's where we sow our little seeds of faith. And I'm so glad you mentioned that, just the providence of God. And that's why it's important to study the character of God, knowing to say that we have a good father is the biggest understatement that you could come up with. But you understand God's character, it makes his providence a little easy to deal with, because you know that he actually is for you, and he follows you, and he goes with you. And we have to remember that, no matter how dark the days get.
Yeah, and it's really shown me as a believer and know the whole level of that when challenges still will come, and you know, we're overcomers. The challenges I face now and today is I'm not worried about it. I'm an overcomer, and God is on the throne, and
amen.
Miracles still happen.
Yeah, miracles still happen, and that's something that we all need to lean into and trust the Lord in that. And it's always so great when you get to share your testimony. We've only got about a minute and a half left before the end of the show. Any financial things you want to throw out there, David, or you just want to continue to testify? We can do whatever. I'm good either
way. You know what I like to do? I would like to pray and end it on that note for just a quick prayer between me and you and everybody hearing our voice. And so, Lord, we just come before your throne of grace, and we just thank you that you are the God that dwelleth in thee, that you are the God that rose your Son from the dead, and you raise us to life. Lord, thank you for all the people that are hearing our voice. Though I pray those that are downtrodden, are going through challenges, embrace them. Put your loving arms around them. Show them the way towards your creation. Do your work in their life. Mercies and blessing upon these people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. No better way to finish the show. I love you, my brother. Thank you so much for sharing
love
your testimony.
You.
And we'll talk to you again soon. That's awesome. Thanks, pal.
Thank you.
All right,
God
we'll
is good.
Again. All the time, baby. God is good all
the time.
Time. Amen. Thanks, David. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
You too. Bye.
All right, bye-bye. There you go. Don't lose heart, man. Don't lose faith. Don't be downtrodden. I know it's hard. Believe me, I've been in the valley myself. And there's another one coming. But eventually, no more valleys. None whatsoever. Isn't that great? But only if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Do you know him? That's the question. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.